Coming up on Patriots This Week, it may have begun as theater of the absurd.
Oh my God.
But on the Wembley Stadium stage, it was masterpiece theater.
He said it's time to change the guards.
A little nutcracker, dude. That's carrying that. The house.
New England returned to old England.
Good old-fashioned football again.
And perhaps to the Patriots' ways of yore.
We can be a dangerous football team.
A bye to London means hello to the bye week.
That was a fun day for us. At least we can relax for a little bit and kind of enjoy this one.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
A British invasion, more like a Patriot invasion. Plus, they had an insurance policy named Lloyd in London. And they had this guy who's a banger named Gronk who actually mashed the Rams. 45-7, Patriots lay one on the Rams at Wembley Stadium. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak. And joining me each and every week, as usual, former linebacker Matt Chatham. Jolly-o, cheerio. And former tight end, the Wiggy one, Jermaine Wiggins. Guys, after I think it was 3 minutes and 10 seconds into the game, Sam Bradford goes over the top right in front of Tavon Wilson. Seemed just like the Seattle game. Touchdown. Patriots down 7-0. Were you guys worried? Start with you, Wiggy.
Yeah, I was a little bit worried. I'm thinking same play that Seattle won on a game-winning touchdown. Same coverage. Very same. You know, you see Tavon Wilson take the same angle. And I'm thinking, oh, here we go again. Sam Bradford's already a better quarterback than Russell Wilson. I'm thinking, here we go. And now I'm thinking, hopefully the Patriots offensively can kind of keep it going and match them. And they were able to match them, but not only that, they were able to run away with it. But yes, I was very concerned after that first one.
You mentioned Sam Bradford. And for me, calling the games, being there in person, Sam Bradford, I think, is the best quarterback they played yet this year as far as making it. And that includes Peyton Manning, but take that with a grain of salt, because look at where Manning is in his career right now. And he's on the back end. He's working through some surgeries. He's still not the Peyton Manning of 5 years ago. Still extremely effective. But Sam Bradford, number one overall pick, he was putting the ball on the dime at times. Matt, are you surprised they didn't go more downtown after that first drive?
No. Well, the issue being Chris Givens. Remember, he went out. So
He did come back later.
Yeah, though. He was gone for a quarter. But the important part about that is when he left, it was 7-7. He goes and takes a break for a time. He comes back as 21-7. Yeah. So the face of the game had changed. So you're not going to just go routes. I think what's important to note about that play as well is as much as you saw the repeatable mistake at corner, you saw the repeatable mistake in the secondary, but there was also no edge on the left side again. The Patriots actually dialed up a pressure on that play. Everyone crashes down. It was a middle linebacker blitz with spikes, and you had a free pocket to the left. So, again, it was boot to the side away from where they dialed up the pressure. So there were repeatable errors on all three levels. They committed in this game to more confusion, which was not so much, you know, too many times. They still end up in a four-man rush, but they would often, you know, put a guy in the line as if he's coming. Yes, send him, and then drop a guy. You actually saw Cunningham drop some. You saw Chandler drop off the edge and one. Those aren't blitzes per se, but it's a commitment to confusion, and I think that's important. You just don't make it easy. It's not just a four-man line that all those four guys rush and everyone else is in coverage, or a fifth where the four guys rush and you just add one in. They did a lot of stuff where they would put people in the line, and you just don't know who's coming, and then that gives you the singled up situations. And you see Chandler generally win in those situations anyhow, and Rob Ninkovich as well.
And I think Matt brings up a great point from watching the game, what the Patriots did defensively. They move guys around and they walk guys up into A gaps. We call it mugging guys up at the line of scrimmage, and it confuses linemen because you have to now account for these guys, especially when they're in the A gaps, which is right next to the quarterback. And you see the first third down, they brought a cross dog, which allowed, you know, them to get some pressure. And I think that's the one thing.
It's cross dog.
Cross dog is when they take the two inside linebackers and they cross them.
Okay.
That's all it is, and they bring pressure that way.
There's been talk out there within this town. There's stuff been written about Tom Brady being on the back end of his career, the decline. Yet, early in this game, he's 8 of 8. He's perfect. I think he ends up 23 of 35 or whatever it was, 304 yards. AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Here we are at the bye. 16 touchdowns, 3 picks. Matt, from what you saw against the Rams, were you worried about this game going into it?
Well, I think there were factors in the game out in London that really played into the Patriots' favor. I think the wet field was huge. I think you were there, Zoe.
It's a long grass. It's not a small tight grass.
It was a messy field, and the rain picked up as the game went on. And their strength was really on those edge rushers. And if you'd watch Robert Quinn playing with his cleats. There was in the first or second series, you see him slip and not even rush. He just stays in his stance. I felt like that really bothered him. And then once he'd get up, he's not a counter move guy. So you'd see they're too, you know, long as the other guy. guy on the other side, but they're just blowing up the field. Tom is unaware they're there. You know, see Nate Solder just washing him up the field, Vollmer just washing him up the field, and it was clean pockets all day. So, and then the other thing, they hit him with the screen. So if they're just going to run up the field all day long, they really gashed him in the screen game. You saw the pump screen to West where they faked the screen and hit him back out in the flat. They really took advantage of that aggressive defense.
You were impressed with how Josh called this game, Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, because they're a tendency breaker. If you're a defensive coordinator trying to watch the Patriots and figure out what the heck it is they do, they'll line up in sets that say things that they do the opposite of. It looks like zig, they do zag. They actually had one, it's sort of a spread formation. So they're four wide receivers sort of removed from the formation, but all tight within the numbers. So as a defense, you're thinking, well, you get tight to create space outside. Now they've just crossed midfield. That usually says shot in the NFL. They're going to take a shot. Well, they don't. They run a draw play into the boundary, into run strength. All those things make no sense to you if you're a middle linebacker or defensive coordinator. Then they come back with a second chance at a shot. Run a direct run means nothing. Now it's third one. Okay, you're going to get a first down. Now they take the shot. Yeah. They just keep your head spinning, to be honest with you, and it actually takes those teams that like to do pressure and makes them just sit on their heels and play base because they can't. You have no idea what the offense is going to do.
You mentioned Ridley. Wiggy, fourth time this year, he's gone over 100, 127 he gets. We're at the midpoint. Mm-hmm. He's got a chance on pace to be about 1,600 yards. Do they not give him the ball enough, or is it just perfect? This is why he gets what he gets.
It's about opportunity, and he's getting that opportunity, and he's got to be able to stay with it, keep that ball off the ground, because if he puts the ball on the ground, that's obviously going to put him behind the eight ball again. But I think when he gets out there and he gets his opportunity, he runs hot. I like the way the kid runs. He's running hot. He runs downhill. And the one thing I've noticed, he doesn't have that breakaway speed, but he has explosion. And say that first, you know, 10 to 15 yards, when he hits that hole, he's able to explode into that secondary.
So many times in that game, those big pass plays followed a 12-yard run by Vereen, an 8-yard run by Ridley, a 20-yard run by Ridley. These plays, the big pass plays followed other plays where they just put a little token play action there. You see everyone bite and it's wide open.
All right, we got to talk about Gronkowski because everybody was worried about the summer of Gronk. Was he not taking it serious in the offseason? And will he ever replicate what he did last year in a phenomenal year statistically? Mm-hmm. He's actually on pace and even a little bit better statistically. He's quite a character, though, after the touchdowns. What'd you think of the whole
wind-up the tin soldier?
But I don't think he was looking for Nutcracker. He was looking for changing of the guard type.
Yeah, but that was his quote after the game. And I think he was...
protect that house. He thought that was cool.
It was cool. I mean, the guys, he's a piece of work.
You got to love Gronk.
He's never had a bad day.
You know, he's 23 years old. He loves playing the game. And when he goes out there, he works his tail off. And he says all the right things. You got to love somebody like that. It's never about Gronk. And that's the one thing that when you look at him as a player, it's never about him. It's always about the team.
All right, think about this. Because when we come back on Patriots This Week, our biggest surprises, whether positive or negative, for this team. And hopefully not everybody's going to pick Tom Brady. That's next.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, Dumpster in a Bag, can take it on. Visit thebagster.com for more info.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is Shane Vereen. The second-year back sent a message to the Rams when he powered his way in for a score on fourth down, giving the Patriots the lead. Against the Jets, the 5'9", 205-pounder averaged more than 6 yards a carry. Vereen graduated from Cal with a 4.0 GPA in just 3.5 years. This week's Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. And what we're going to do now, because it is the bye week, no, we're not going to go shopping because Wiggy has nothing in his wallet. A lot of cobwebs in there. But we're going to self-scout not only ourselves, but this team. Your one thing that you're surprised about the most with this football team at the midpoint?
Well, not so much surprise, but that I see something that was a hurdle that you couldn't have predicted, at least to the scope, injuries. I mean, this is a team that's coming off a Super Bowl loss. This tends to kind of happen. And, you know, to the degree that they've lost people each and every week, when you look at the game reports heading into these games, there's 12 people on the Patriots list, and there's 4 or 5 question marks on each and every team they play. So I think that, as much as anything going forward, the ability to sort of manage the unexpected, you know, Logan going down.
Mankins played through an ACL last year, yet it really tells you
right.
how serious or how hurt he may be if he can't go.
Yeah, and twice they've managed it. They've had great games, surprisingly, in the times he's gone down. And then, you know, obviously, the coverage units, we'll call it, as opposed to secondary. Hightower's been down for a time and been back. And on the back end, all four spots have been down at some point. And right now, really, three of the four are out. So managing that situation and being able to figure out who that group is going to be in December is a big issue for
That's
this
a
team.
Good point, because you think going into this thing offensively, two of the most important players in your offense, people would argue Hernandez and people would argue Mankins. Up front. Wiggy, who's your biggest surprise?
And I think that leads right into what I feel like my biggest surprise is that offensive line. I mean, I think that was the biggest question mark that we had going into the season, and a surprise in a positive way, because I think, you know, for the most part, they've done a pretty outstanding job. They've shown that they can block against the run. They can be able to go out there and run the football, and they've shown that they can pass protect. I mean, pretty much, you know, they've kept Brady upright. I don't think they've given up too many sacks. And that's the one thing that if you always looked at the Patriots, they were always consistent with the offensive line. You knew who, you know, four out of those five guys were going to be, and we didn't really know that this year. And I think they've done a tremendous job so far with protecting Brady, you know, and being able to block for the running game.
I think the biggest surprise for me is Chandler Jones and the impact that he has. Well, you say, well, he's a first-round pick. Why wouldn't he be an impact player? When they picked him and when they picked Hightower, I think everybody thought Hightower coming from Alabama and the role that he played there, SEC, that guy is an impact starter from day one. Whether he's a Mike, whether he's a Will, whether he's the Sam, he's a starter. He's an everyday starter. Chandler Jones, because of his size, because of, you know, the amount of time he's played football.
He's younger, too.
And it's kind of the framework wasn't the same as Willie McGinnis. He's not going to be out there 66, 68 plays. He's going to be a spot guy. He's going to be a situational pass rusher. And then he will evolve into a great player. Now, all of a sudden, here we are at the 8-week point. He's out there every single play.
Yeah.
They leave him backside. It looks like he's been out there three, four years. He's laying smack talk down in between every play, doing the sack dances. You could turn him loose in every single situation, and you don't have to worry about him. He's my biggest surprise.
It's important to note, too, that his body type, you know, he's not huge. He's 270.
It's like a basketball player.
He's 270. He's moved down. I don't know if fans out there pick up on this, but in the last, like, 3-4 weeks, they've actually had a series of 3-4 defense. So that is a surprise. I don't think when they draft him, they think, hey, I've got a 5 technique that can also be a great pass-rushing defensive end. That's a plus.
All right, good stuff, guys. When we come back, we're going to get into our rants and raves as we sit here at the bye week. We'll get into that next when Patriots This Week continues. Welcome back to Patriots This Week. And right now, we're going to take a look at some of the other AFC teams, specifically within the division. And I guess we could call this a surprise, guys, that the Miami Dolphins are sitting there at 4-3. Matt, you look at them and you look at Joe Philbin. We've played for coaches that command a room. And if you watch Hard Knocks earlier in the year, I think that guy lights up a room when he leaves. How's he getting his team to play well?
Yeah, I think it's sort of a disciplined group, as you can tell, and they're defense first. And I think the idea that Brian Tannehill's come in there and done a good job, it helps that Mike Sherman's there, so they had some sort of continuity, even though it was sort of a college-y kind of thing that he understood. So I'm actually not surprised they're 4-3. I feel like it's about where you'd expect them to be. It's a really good defense. There's a ton of talent. I think that team is sort of built to be competitive.
Why is Miami sitting there, and why are the Jets all of a sudden starting to fade?
It's about the coach, you know. Here's a coach that can command the room, gets the players to understand, okay, this is what we have to do to be successful. This is what the team needs to do. I'm the leader here. I'm saying, okay, special teams, defense, offense, we have to play as a unit, all three phases of the game. And I think players respect him as a coach. And when they respect you as a coach, they're willing to go out there and give it their all and play for you and listen to what you say. And I think that's one thing. I think that's a big reason on why you see Miami's kind of has kind of taking that turn and start to turn that corner a little bit is obviously because of the head coach, in my opinion.
I think it's important that we all kind of write this note on the back of our hand when we're sitting here next year having this conversation. We need to not overreact about free agency acquisitions in this division. I think the Bills thing was such a dramatic thing. I mean, I think the Patriots were very savvy in their handling of Mark Anderson. He did a great job for them last year, but there's a reason he was available from Chicago at that time for the price that he was. He did a great job in the system, was very disruptive for him, but they did feel like they could replace that production, and they have. He went there, gets big money, gets hurt, and hadn't had that kind of production prior to that. Marvin Williams is not worth a dollar, quite frankly, and I think they built most of their things around that.
They have the personnel on defense, but I think it all comes back to the coach, you know, Chan Gailey as a head coach, and I think
he commands rooms, does he not?
I think if Mario Williams is here, or even if Mario Williams is, say, in New York with Rex Ryan, maybe the production is different because of the head coach.
Matt, if you're Rex Ryan, do you take Mark Sanchez out and put Jesus and cleats in for your quarterback?
Who's that?
I'd be Tim Tebow.
Okay. Not at all. No, it wouldn't even be a consideration. Mark Sanchez is the quarterback. Who's the second quarterback? It's not Tim Tebow. They've got another guy on the roster.
No, they say it's Tim Tebow. Yeah. Tim Tebow thinks it's Tim Tebow.
Who's they? New York Post, New York Times.
Well, the Tebowites. The people that support it.
No, that's a media conversation. It's not a real one. It's not a football one. I think when they look at that team, Mark Sanchez is fine. The team's got problems.
I think Houston will be a team that's going to be there at the end. We'll see them later in December. You know, they got guys like J.J. Watt. You know, Matt Schaub is staying healthy. Now, all of a sudden, you got a team like Baltimore who's got to deal with two major injuries to that defense. I think it gave Pittsburgh life. What do you think about that, Wiggy? Is Pittsburgh now becoming a contender in the North?
When you look at Pittsburgh, they pretty much have it all. You know what I mean? They have a good enough quarterback in Roethlisberger. They have a pretty decent running attack where they like to run the football. They have the weapons on the outside and wide receivers. We know they can do it. Pretty decent tight end. Defensively, they do a good job. And I like the head coach. I think Mike Tomlin does a great job, and he's one of those coaches that command the room and understands that the players listen to him, and you can tell just by the way he coaches that the players buy into what he's saying. So I believe there's some life there.
Stability. That's why. I mean, I think that the September-October conversations are irrelevant. You get to December. Who do you expect to be there? Who do you expect to figure themselves out? I think Pittsburgh is absolutely one of those programs. You're right, the pieces. They've got the quarterback. They've got the head coach. They've got a defense that pressures well, and they've got playmakers in the secondary. I think the issue for that team is always, you know, could they get back to their old identity of just Jerome Bettis, run, run, run? It's really not who they are anymore. Yeah, no. The offensive line's not nearly as good. It's okay, but, I mean, they're asked to do different things. You'll actually see them in spread now from time to time, which is different. But that team has the pieces. They're 2-3. They're 3-4. They're 4-3. They're 5-2. It really doesn't matter at this point. They'll be in the race.
Peyton Manning sitting right there completing 68% of his passes, 17 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions. That's only going to get better as he feels more comfortable in that offense. Think we could see him at the end of the year again?
Peyton Manning still is a great quarterback. I don't understand what if they watch the game, they see that Peyton can still go out there, make every throw, get the job done, control that offense. So Denver's a team that is one of those teams you got to be on the lookout for.
All right, guys, good stuff. When we come back, we're going to project what we think this team is going to be in the second half and where they're going to be seated going to the playoffs. That's right, keyword playoffs, when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. By Bose, the official sound of the Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Pats are on a bye week, but your fantasy football team is not, and I'm Brian Lowe with the Fantasy Lowdown. Andrew Luck is a great QB to start, in Tom Brady's place, for instance, with a game against Miami at home, where Luck on the whole has been very good as a rookie. Chris Johnson has had a resurgence the last few weeks for the Titans, but that ends on Sunday. You should sit Johnson against the Bears' top-ranked defense. And the sleeper of the week, Jacksonville receiver Cecil Shorts, very much on the rise. And that's the bye week edition of the Fantasy Lowdown, brought to you by Verizon, the official wireless and telecommunications provider for the Patriots.
Time now for a couple predictions as the team heads for rest and relaxation. Matt, second half, where do you project this team? Give me a record at the end of the year, whether a divisional round or a wild card team.
Well, I think the schedule sets up nice for the Patriots. I mean, I think there are the two conventional tests left on the schedule with the Texans and the Niners. Unfortunately, they both come here in New England. So I'm going to look for this team, because of youth, to stumble once. That will probably be either one of the two Dolphin games, maybe the Jet game on the road, or one of either those Texans or San Francisco game. Let's call it 12-4 Patriots, division winner.
Wow, good stuff. All right, what do you got, Wiggy?
I'm going, they're going to go 7-1 the remainder of the season. They're going to go 12-4 like Matt. I think they stumble. To go 8-0 for the remainder of the season is going to be very tough, but 7-1 is pretty good, and I still think with that record, they'll be able to fight for that number one seed.
All right, good stuff. And I got them also maybe tripping up once, either against the Texans or against the 49ers. Both those games at their home in primetime, they're going to go on a great run here. I think the schedule sets up nicely for them. I got them finishing 12-4, and they sneak in to the second bye. That's right, no wild card game. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. Watch us each and every week, same time, same bat channel. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, join us next time on Patriots This Week.